Welcome to Transition State.
Hold on, don't say nothing's wrong. I stay inside. Wide awake, I chase the light. In black and white across the sky, falling stars, they catch my eye. Run away with me tonight. Too hot to sleep, so I just try. Or in the light, these spinning wheels in time of mine, the road another crooked line. Just hold on, don't say nothing's wrong. I don't wanna be lonely, don't wanna.
Check my mic, 1, 2. What's up, radio fans? You're listening to Transition State on CITR 101.9. I'm your host, as always, Adam. This is the show that is pharmaceutically aware and always changing and always the same. We just heard from some nice singing group. That was the Reed Jameson Band. The song was Drive. Wasn't that nice? And we started out with a little bit of an old school request. That was Jimi Hendrix from Axis Bold as Love. One Rainy Wish. That was going out to Massey, who loves that song. And all those technical difficulties are also dedicated to Massey. It's obviously his fault that we had to have those difficulties because he's the one who requested that song. All right, we got an amazing show coming up. You're going to learn something about pharmaceutical awareness. But first, we're going to hear some more music. We're going to hear from a rad band called T-Nile. This is an awesome song called No Lines. Pay attention. 3, 2, 1, now.
This motel is ugly. Midnight text, he says, I thought you quit me. probably should. But for this pain in my chest, so pretty, mean so little to me. I'll take a look at yourself, take a look at yourself. guided by the things that I want. One day we'll be lonely, wishing we could only go back to the start, or back to the start. And maybe things aren't as bad as they seem. Oh, held in silence by my hopes and dreams. Stole words from my head, ruthless and defiant. All things come to an end, come to an end. And once I got gone, I just couldn't stop. Housing low with this crazy way. Oh, wishing and hoping you would look my way. Hey,
you're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
What? Radio.
Oh,
radio.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Radio. Happy. Boing, 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 boing. Yip, yip.
In the 2009 BC provincial election, the Delta South riding was won by a margin of 32 votes. In a 1999 Nova Scotian election, the Shelburne district was won by a margin of 1 vote. 1 vote. One person was the difference, so go tell them that your vote doesn't matter. On October 19th, get out and vote. It's one small action that can make all the difference. Visit elections.ca to register and for more information.
And we are back. You're listening to Transition State. I'm your host, as always, Adam. Before those wonderful PSAs reminding you that every 10 years or so your vote can matter, we heard Laura Resnick. That was Do No Harm. I thought that was a fitting choice for the show because not doing any harm is a good place to start if you're a good pharmacist, i.e. the Hippocratic Principle. Unfortunately, that principle's been all but abandoned. There are tons, or literally thousands, of medications out there that do harm, that have approval and that are given every day. But still, good song, don't you think? And of course, before that, we heard from T. Nile, and before that, Reed Jameson Band, and before that, Jimi Hendrix. We have some good songs coming up in the future, but first I'm going to lay a little bit of awareness on you. I hope you are in the mood to start thinking about drugs, i.e. medications, and how they work and what they do and what you should know about them. I'll preface this a little bit by just giving backstory for people who might not be long-term fans of this show. But this show was founded with the idea of bringing some pharmaceutical awareness to the community. I think it's important that people know something about their drug therapies, and I think it's very rare that people do. Part of the problem, I think, is that often the only time you have chance to interface with your pharmacist or the drug experts, doctors or nurses, is when you're sick, and or when your loved one is sick, or when you're in a state of stress and badness. And that's no kind of frame of mind to be in if you want to actually learn something. I've seen it personally when people are in distress. They don't want to learn about how their drugs work. They just want them to work and go home and feel better. And that's totally understandable. But my hope is that now you're not in a state of distress. You're in a state of like a healthy state of mind. Maybe you're having some lunch and you're listening to the radio and you might just learn something. So pay attention. So first, I want to make a disclaimer and say that this is absolutely not medical advice. This is not a show that's going to make you healthy or tell you something that other people don't know. I'm still a student. I'm in my last year of pharmacy school, and I found that my level of knowledge, even though I feel like there are zillions of things for me to know before I'll be a good pharmacist, before I'll be an accomplished practicing professional, I feel like I'm miles away from that. But I also am starting to tell that what I know is at least a million times more than what average people know. So we're just going to go through some of the very basics, okay? First of all, the very first thing we're going to talk about is what your body does to a drug. Any drug that you take, it just in general conceptual terms. I'm not sure if you know. Maybe ask yourself right now if you know. But pharmacists do know. And it's a very simple way to remember. It's ADME or ADME. That's easy for me to remember because my name's Adam. ADME. But anyway, the A stands for absorption. That's the very thing, first thing that your body will do with any drug. And that goes for food too. It will absorb it. If you take it, if you put a cream on your skin, it'll get absorbed into through your skin. If you inhale a certain drug, it'll get absorbed by your lungs. And if you take it orally, like you eat it, it'll get absorbed through your enteric system into your bloodstream. And that brings us to the D, which is distribution. Once it gets into your blood, it will get distributed to pretty much all your tissues. Certain drugs have certain properties that make them located and active in certain areas of your body, but in general, the drug will be distributed. After that, your drug will be metabolized. For those of you who know, that's probably going to either be through your liver or your kidneys. So that's why good liver and good kidneys are important. And then the last thing you're going to do is excrete the drug, meaning if you metabolize it through your liver, it'll probably go back through your GIT and excreted fecally. And if it's through your kidneys, i.e. renal excretion, then you will pee it out. So isn't that interesting? That's a little something. A little bit of free knowledge for you there. We're going to talk some more pharmacy, but first we're going to hear from a band that's very close to my heart. This is The Crobots. You might not have heard this amazing album. It was tearing up the charts earlier this year. We're going to hear a track called Fever, and we're going to hear it right about. We'll be right back.
The fence is a fence, the garden. There are mornings when the fruit seems to glisten under the sun with its jewels sick to lie. And it's morning and I'm starving in the shadow maker's shadow has hardened. 17 in the morning, I'm crying out warnings. The methamphetamine is not alright. They play rough, settle this stuff. We all made of mothers and not from some cloth. But the tailor of cloth shall be the wearer of cloth. In the dawn, by the river, I shall. Tempest is put a breath that's rotten. Well, it's 4 in the morning and the border keeps twinkling as the trucks stretch into life. And the judge and his son, they were pink, so I must flee from this garden. And I fear that the next land will be but to fly. Home for the wind and his wolfish bite. They bite rough, rough. Serve this stuff. Your fangs are but a page from the book of tough stuff. And the Welchers of wine, man, they're gonna pledge you their cups. If only you could rise into a St. Peter's light. Lay a siege upon the city that bequeath you its light. Woe to the days where we buried our light. Made as if this day would never get over its stage fright. And woe to the fascist and his delight. Dieter. On the floor. Tears on the floor. Tears on the floor. Thank you.
explore music that spans Eric Satie's Musique d'Ambulement to Lawrence English's Dense Electronic Drones and Nomadic Streams, Vancouver New Music's 2015 Festival of Ambient Music. Nomadic Streams runs from October 22nd to 24th. For more information, visit newmusic.org. It's fall, which means the return of pumpkins. But not just pumpkin spice, actual pumpkins. On October 24th, from 3 to 6, come join Langara College business students at Southlands Heritage Farms in South Vancouver for pumpkin art for animals. All proceeds for this pumpkin painting fundraiser will go towards the BC SPCA. So come on down to support the animals, paint a pumpkin, do some activities, and eat some snacks. Admission is by donation with a minimum donation of $10 per person.
And we're back. You're listening to CITR, Vancouver UBC Radio, as always. We just heard from Frog Eyes. Their song was Tear Down the Fences That Surround the Garden. And that was from the album Pickpockets Lock It. Before that, we heard from Fist City. Their song was Parental Warning. There's swear words in the song title. The song was called Fuck Cops. That album was Everything Is a Mess. Obviously, I think that song was more of a expression of frustration and anger rather than, say, advice on what you should do today. Anyway, you're listening to Transition State. This is the show where we try to broadcast some pharmaceutical awareness, and that's what I'm going to do right now. If you've listened to this show for a long time, which I doubt you have, then you know that usually I try to get guests, experts in the field, scientific researchers, high-quality thinkers into the studio so that we can learn from them. But that's proving to be very difficult, partly because there are time constraints. A lot of the times experts in the field are very busy and don't really have free time on Thursdays. But mostly I think it's due to a pretty insidious sub rosa, hard to nail down kind of conspiracy to keep science out of the media. And by example, I mean that a lot of scientific researchers have to sign agreements, professionalism agreements, non-disclosure agreements, and actually not discuss anything of any real meaning, anything of any real substance on the air. So that's left to me. I'm a student, and I didn't have to sign any non-disclosure statement. Quite the opposite. My goal in pharmacy is to get people to get smart about their drugs. I think the first rule is that you shouldn't take a drug that you don't understand. So again, a disclaimer, this isn't medical advice. I'm still just a student. I'm just learning. But what we're going to do now is start a new tradition on this show where every week we're going to walk through the pharmacotherapy of any given medical condition. So we're going to start with asthma. I'm not an expert in asthma. I'm an expert in the drugs, okay? But what I know about asthma, and feel free to call in and correct me if I make any mistakes. Asthma is an old word from Greek. It means you can't breathe. And it's basically a type of inflammation or constriction of the bronchioles in your airways. You get shortness of breath, wheezing, tight chest. It can be very acute and very dangerous, or it can also be long-term and chronic and get subtly worse. Part of the things that cause asthma is inflammation, and if you know about inflammation, then you know there's a whole cascade of biochemicals that affect that. So we'll be talking about things like histamine. We'll be talking about cells like mast cells, macrophages, leukotrienes, all that type of stuff. But I don't want to get too technical. I want to just kind of walk you through the basics of what ordinary people can think about when they think about asthma meds. So what are the meds that we give for asthma? Does anybody know? There's basically two mainstays. One is beta agonists, and the other is corticosteroids. Now, we're going to unpack what those are. The first thing you'll do if you do have asthma is they'll give you your emergency puffer, and that will probably be something like salbutamol or some other SABA, S-A-B-A. SABA stands for short-acting beta-2 agonist. Now, you could probably figure out what short acting means. That's pretty simple. And agonist. Agonist means that it activates the receptor. Contrast that with an antagonist, which is a drug that will deactivate a receptor, turn things off. For example, we have beta antagonists. They will slow your heart rate by turning off those receptors. They antagonize those receptors. But these are beta 2 agonists. So all you need to know what those drugs do is what a beta 2 is. And that's where we get to some really interesting stuff and why I think people should know. Because if you know what a beta 2 receptor is, then you know a lot about your personal physiology. So I'm going to tell you right now. First of all, in the long line, when you're looking at physiology, you have to get used to people who don't know how to name things. They either name them after themselves or they'll name them alpha, beta, or type 1 and type 2. So beta is totally meaningless. It's just the name chosen by somebody who doesn't know how to name things. But it's part of what's called your adrenergic system, which is pretty much your stress, your fight or flight response. So for example, if you're a mammal and you're in a position where you either have to run away or you have to stand and fight, then your survival is going to depend on getting oxygen to your muscles to accomplish that goal. And so you have receptors that will dilate your bronchioles to get more oxygen in flowing. It'll do other things at the same time. It'll constrict your blood vessels to increase your blood pressure so that you have the oxygen getting to where it needs to go. There are other things too. But obviously for asthma, we want to concentrate on those. Now, in your body's natural physiology, the drug that activates those receptors, or I shouldn't say drug, it's a biochemical, but it's norepinephrine. If you know norepinephrine, it used to be known as noradrenaline. And if you've ever heard of adrenaline or epinephrine, it's basically the exact same molecule, but without a little methyl on the end. So you can think of all of those as pretty equivalent. Norepinephrine is the term that I'll use. So generally, if you have to fight or flight, you'll have this norepinephrine response. Your bronchioles will dilate. But we have other drugs that act in a similar way, so you don't have to activate your adrenaline. You just take a puff. It hits your beta 2 receptors. Your lungs will expand. You'll get more air in, and hopefully, it's not a long-term solution, but it will. It's called a rescue puffer. Now, other than SABAs, there are also LABAs, meaning long-acting beta 2 agonists. So they're still going to be just analogs of the same epinephrine drug. Those are things like salmeterol or others. Then the other mainstay of therapy, which is not used for rescue medication, it's not used immediate relief, are the corticosteroids. Those are things like beclomethasone, mometasone, other things like that. Now, these act a little bit differently. They're anti-inflammatories, and they're analogs of another of your stress hormones, which is called cortisol. Cortisol and norepinephrine are both produced in your adrenal cortex, just for the record. These act on steroid receptors, but they're a little bit different. Steroid receptors don't have that fast, immediate response. They're going to transduce the signal into your DNA, and so the effects take sort of time to work. That takes time for your cell for the signal to reach into the nucleus of the cell, get your DNA, affect the protein folding, etc. So you're going to see it's going to take about a few days or up to a week for these drugs to have an effect. And that's why you're supposed to take them regularly, usually once or twice a day, whether you have symptoms or not. Usually this is an orange puffer. What else about corticosteroids? I guess I'll just say there are a whole bunch of other drugs that you can give. For asthma, they focus on that biochemical cascade, the inflammatory process. So you have your leukotriene antagonists. You have other things like methylxanthines. But like I said, I didn't want it to get too technical. I just wanted to kind of point out that the mainstay of asthma therapy are SABAs and corticosteroids, both of which are analogs of your stress hormones, which I think is interesting because a lot of the talk you hear about asthma is focused on the biochemical cascade and the anti-inflammatory, the mast cell stabilizers, things like that. You have monoclonal antibodies, so your immune system is part of the inflammation, so you can get monoclonal antibodies that any drug that ends with MAB is a monoclonal antibody. But I think it's interesting that if you kind of take a step back, stop looking at just the biochemical cascade that goes on in asthma, you see that the treatment focuses on analogs of your stress hormones. And I'm not sure if you know this, but asthma is on the increase, especially with young people in Canada. More and more people are getting asthma. And some people are kind of wondering why, and they think it's due to pollution or allergens. But I think we should consider that it might be due to stress. The stress of, I guess, the stress inherent in sort of modern urban lifestyle being so disconnected from the history of mammals and how we traditionally have lived, i.e. in nature and surrounded by our families. Anyway, that's your little lesson on asthma. I hope you learned something. If I said anything wrong, please feel free to call me in and correct me. I write tests. I get tested on this stuff all the time, and I never get perfect, so I'm sure I'm still in a learning process. Anyway, we're going to hear some more music now. This is going to be Slater Kinney. Maybe you've heard of her. Them.
Scramble egg.
All right. That was Slater Kinney. I want to apologize because I make the mistake. I saw Slater Kinney once in Calgary, and it was just one girl with a guy on the bass and a guy on the drums. And I always thought that Slater Kinney was sort of one person, but I think it's the name of the band. Anyway, that was Price Tag from the album No Cities to Love. No Cities Left to Love. Oh, sorry, Slater Kinney. Anyway, that's it for Transition State this week, folks. Stay tuned for Dunkin' Donuts coming up with some rock and rad music on CITR next. I'm going to leave you with one more track. This is Hey Mother Death. Pretty good name, hey? And the track is Bad Sex. So this will play us out. Until next week, stay pharmaceutically sound and stay cool out there.
These nights, I pass over space and time. Zone of electric streams. Images of what we are going to do. Call me, call me, call me. Oh yes, call me, baby. If the other is double, why can't I be as well? No tears for the mirror, blushing steam on my thighs. Dilated eyes. On some imaginary screen, an unknown sequence of myself playing unknown pleasures, loud and love. The camera is retiring, getting what you wanted. The camera is the eye of a vulture and the orbit of the city, beating so loud. So loud, and the heartbeat of the city beating so loud, and the heartbeat of the city beating so loud, and the heartbeat of the city. Dark, narrow gorge of disillusion.